and welcome back to Shock Talk, the after party podcast you didn't know you didn't need. I'm Sean.
I'm Maddie.
And today we're discussing Shocked and Applauds, discussion about the 2005 Neil Gaiman, Jim Henson mashup Mirror Mask. Yeah, have you ever seen Mirror Mask?
I don't believe so.
I'm just going to point out, for me personally, I've seen parts of this. And while I agree that the CGI was kind of pretty, I have problems because I realized that CGI in 2005 was better than this, because Lord of the Rings came out in 2002. And it's like the CGI in that is just so much better than the CGI in this movie. But on the flip side, they did everything on a green screen, and Attack of the Clones in 1997 was terrible. No, not Attack of the Clones, Phantom Menace.
Ah.
So maybe they were just working with overloaded old computer tech, but... Okay, so Naomi mentioned this was surprise Neil Gaiman. Like, oh, hey, this is Neil Gaiman. He does stuff I like. They mentioned Princess Mononoke, which I don't think Neil Gaiman had anything to do with creatively wise. Rather, he was hired to adapt the script from a Japanese language to an English dub.
Ah.
So he wrote the English language version of a Japanese script that was already written.
Gotcha.
So is it really him if he didn't do anything, really?
Yeah.
It's not his idea. It's not his anything.
No, but having to translate the words, you know, he has to make sure that he's getting the right imagery and meaning and themes across.
I suppose.
It's like writing a script.
He also was responsible for Coraline, which he did not direct, but it's based off of his 2002 novella.
Yes.
So he was responsible for basically creating it all.
Yes.
Talked about Coraline in our last Shock Talk. What did you think about Coraline? Did you like it? You seem like you don't.
It was not one of my favorites. I think watching it again, knowing that it's Neil Gaiman and that, you know, knowing more about like studios and stuff, it makes me like it a little more. But the creepy mom thing is creepy.
So. Creepy mom thing is creepy.
Yes.
Okay. They also mentioned The Sandman. Now, The Sandman is a series of comics written by Neil Gaiman.
Novels.
Comic book series turned into graphic novels, but it was a comic book in the late 80s, early 90s, which the director of Mirror Mask, David McKean, would do the covers for. And him and Neil Gaiman would team up. It ran from 89 to 96, and it told the story of seven anthropomorphized human versions of complex concepts that all started with the letter D.
Death.
Destiny.
Destiny.
Dream. Desire. Destruction. Despair. And delirium / delight.
Delirium.
Delirium's your favorite. Yeah. They turned it into... Well, they tried to adapt it many times. They turned it into an audio drama on Audible, which I bought.
Kat Dennings?
Yeah, Kat Dennings' Death. James McAvoy's Dream.
I might actually listen to that.
I guess now they're turning it into a live-action TV series for Netflix. Ooh. They just announced last Friday that Gwendolyn Christie is going to play Lucifer. Technically, the Lucifer TV show on Netflix, the one that's got the British guy.
Yeah.
That, if you ever watch it, says based on the characters created by Neil Gaiman.
Because
that Lucifer is the same one from Sandman.
Ooh.
So they're wondering, why didn't you just get that actor to play Sandman in the TV show?
Because he's already on something.
Well, they said technically it's a different interpretation of Neil Gaiman's character.
Hmm.
The one, the TV show, he goes to Earth because he's bored. Mm-hmm. And he leaves Hell just alone by itself. And he goes to Earth and he, you know, finds love and is basically self-centered and wants to meddle in human affairs and wants to become a detective because he's good at finding, telling people secrets and stuff like that. Whereas in the comic and what they're going for in the TV show, Gwendolyn Christie's Lucifer is more, considers humanity beneath them. Mm. They don't get involved in human affairs because who gets involved in the affairs of an ant? Mm-hmm. And they leave Hell to Dream specifically. Uh-huh. And then they go off and have further adventures dealing with gods and higher people. So basically it's like, they're really two different characters.
Gotcha.
Even though they both started out with the concept of Lucifer leaves Hell. Ah. So, I think it's kind of cool.
Yes.
I can't wait to watch it. Naomi started saying one of the things she knew Neil Gaiman from was the Douglas Adams autobiography. Hmm. I know we've already covered Douglas Adams in the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy Shocked Talk.
Yes.
But for those of you who don't know, Douglas Adams was an English author, screenwriter, essayist, humorist, satirist, and dramatist. He was born in 1952 and he died in 2001. He was the author of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, which originated in 1978 as a radio comedy for the BBC before developing into a trilogy of five books. Generated a television series, several stage plays, comics, a video game, and in 2005, a feature film.
Yes.
Which is what was covered by Shock Talk. See, so the next one was, they talked about The Legend of Zelda. Do you remember The Legend of Zelda? Do you ever play Legend of Zelda? I'm looking at you. Did you ever play video games ever? No. She says that she's playing Diggy on her cell phone right now.
I am not.
You were. Don't think I can't see you across this desk playing Diggy while we're recording.
No, how but dare I don't. You. I don't play. I don't do video games.
Since you don't know,
but I do know that Zelda is the princess and not the guy with the hat. That's Link.
Hey, congratulations! You're smarter than 50% of all non-gamers.
I have been around the internet a few times.
You nerd. Legend of Zelda is a high fantasy action adventure video game franchise created by Japanese game designers Shigeru Miyamoto and Takashi Tezuka. Primarily developed and published by Nintendo. Since the original Legend of Zelda released in 1986, the series has expanded to include 19 different entries on all of Nintendo's major game consoles, as well as a number of spin-offs, an animated American TV series in 1989. Individual manga adaptations have been produced in Japan since 1997. The game they talked about, which was featured in Shandytown's playthrough, if you ever get on YouTube, look up Shandytown, was called Skyward Sword. It was the first Legend of Zelda game developed for the Wii, primarily using the Wii's movement technology, which required them to remaster the game afterwards when they dumped that technology for, the Wii U and the Switch. Mm. It is the 16th mainline entry in the Legend of Zelda series, released in November 2011. And, interestingly, I found this out, it is the first game to take place in the Zelda continuity. So if you wanted to play the very first game that explains it all, it's this one, Skyward Sword. It's the one where Zelda and Link are kids.
It's very fascinating.
You really don't care, do you? Okay, moving on to computer graphics. The first feature film to make use of computer graphic imagery was the 1973 movie Westworld.
Really?
Mm-hmm, which we talked about earlier because it was written and directed by Michael Crichton, who did...
13th Warrior.
13th Warrior, of recent entries from Shocked and Applaud. Basically, this CGI was everything that the Yul Brynner character saw, so it was just kind of computer pixelated imagery. Mm-hmm. Other early films that incorporated CGI include Star Wars, Tron, The Last Starfighter, another movie Shocked Plot did, Young Sherlock Holmes, and Flight of the Navigator.
Flight of the Navigator.
The first music video to use CGI was Dire Straits' award-winning Money for Nothing in 1985, whose success was instrumental in giving the process mainstream exposure.
Ah.
Remember that song, Money for Nothing?
Yes.
It's the one that has the Beverly Hillbillies. No, that's the Weird Al version. Beverly Hillbillies. No, the Money for Nothing had CGI, like, movers carrying around, like, TVs.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So then the Weird Al version had CGI Beverly Hillbillies.
Yes. Yeah.
Interesting. Nope, just trivia off the top of my head. Money for Nothing by the Dire Straits is actually banned in Canada from radio stations because he uses a derogatory term for gay people, the F word, in the middle of the song.
Oh, all right. Well,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
There you go.
1985 was a different time when you could say that and get mainstream airplay.
Yeah.
I mean, the song is actually pretty good. It doesn't really need that.
Yeah.
But
maybe he was talking about a bundle of sticks?
No.
I know.
But he was describing what somebody else was saying.
Yes.
Still, though.
Yeah.
So Naomi was talking about the hospital term NPO, saying she didn't know what it stood for. So in hospital parlance, the term NPO stands for nil per os, which is Latin, which means nothing by mouth. So it's shorthand for...
no oral.
Fasting. No intake of liquids or food. And I know you're trying to be dirty, and I'm not going to go there, what? But I already did.
What?
NPO is usually prescribed as a safety precaution. Without it, you could become nauseous once contrast or sedation is administered because you might have something in your stomach. This can lead to aspiration, meaning you might uptake your stomach contents into your lungs.
Mm.
This can lead to pneumonia and other health issues. I tried to pronounce the P in that, didn't I? This can lead to pneumonia. For some exams and procedures, nil per os starts an hour before the exam. For others, it can start as early as midnight the night before.
Gotcha.
Mentioned was Kubo in the Two Strings.
A very good movie.
Which we saw in the theater like three times because yes, it was so amazing.
It really was.
Kubo and the Two Strings is a 2016 American stop-motion animated action fantasy film about a Japanese boy who can move origami with his powers,
mm-hmm,
and he finds out that he is descendant of
the moon.
Yeah, like the moon god.
Yeah.
It's actually pretty cool.
The moon is like his grandfather, and the three daughters, and one of them is her mom, and she falls in love with
a human
and mm-hmm sacrifices herself. And
it's very wonderful.
Yes. Yes.
It took inspiration from such Japanese media as ink wash painting and origami. A particular influence came from the ukiyo-e woodblock style, with the Leica studio intending to make the entire film look and feel as it's a moving woodblock print. That's interesting because the last Shock Talk we talked about using traditional styles of mm-hmm animation when we're talking about Mirror Mask to kind of supplement. So yeah, this one kind of works that way. The traditional art styles to supplement the 2D animation. And this is 3D animation.
Yes.
The director mentioned that the story for the film was partly inspired by works of Japanese animator Hideo Miyazaki, which Hideo Miyazaki created Princess Mononoke.
Yes.
Tying that back in. Now, this is just a personal thing. About 4 years ago, Madeline and I had the opportunity to go to Portland for an exhibit,
yes,
of Leica Studios art, in which they had the entire house from Coraline, mm-hmm, the garden from Coraline, the neighborhood houses from Paranorman, the palaces from Box Trolls.
They had clothing.
And one of the things that they had was the skeleton monster from Kubo and the Two Strings.
Yes.
It says that it was 16 feet, 400 pound puppet, which Leica claims is the record holder for the largest stop motion puppet. We actually have a picture of us standing next to it. It is huge.
Yeah.
And to think that they built this huge statue for a movie that, I mean, they could have made it, like, they didn't need to make it at that large of a scale.
Yeah.
I read somewhere that they didn't think that it would translate scaled down with the kind of the puppet motion. So they made it that large, 16 feet, 400 pounds. Yeah. It was kind of cool. It was at the Portland Art Museum. I can't imagine that they would do it again, but if they do, I'd recommend going to see it. It was amazing.
It was very cool.
So Jen talked about Farscape, an Australian-American science fiction television series,
which didn't get into it.
Was on the Sci-Fi Channel.
Yeah.
Made partly by the Jim Henson Company. They're responsible for alien makeup and prosthetics, with two regular characters being played by animatronic puppets. The characters Rigel and the pilot. They're entirely Jim Henson Creature Shop creations.
I know. I wanted to get into it. I just couldn't.
It's four seasons in a movie. I mean, we could possibly go through it. It's not that hard. The plot was, it was a diverse ensemble of characters who are initially escaping from corrupt authorities in the form of a militaristic organization called the Peacekeepers. The protagonists live inside a large biomechanical ship called Moya, which is a living entity.
Mm.
In the pilot episode, they are joined by the main character, a astronaut named John Crichton, who is a modern-day American astronaut who accidentally flew into the entrance of a wormhole near Earth during an experimental space flight and gets trapped. And then basically the TV show is about him dealing with that, trying to get home, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. You never really got into that. I always see, like, actors from this show at, like, Comic-Cons.
Yeah. I mean, if you wanted to watch it, I'd definitely be down to watch it. But I tried watching it on my own, and it just...
I get about maybe three episodes in, and then I'm like, Star Trek is so much better.
And Serenity. Like,
yeah, but Serenity's only like one season.
I know.
All right. Going on with the shocked and applauds love affair with Red Dwarf. Naomi very briefly mentioned a chili chutney sandwich, which technically in season 2 of Red Dwarf is referred to as a triple fried egg chili chutney sandwich, which the quote is, "The ingredients are all wrong, but they work." So here is a recipe for a triple fried egg chili chutney sandwich. The ingredients are 1 tablespoon of butter.
Starting off good.
3 eggs.
Good.
3 tablespoons of mango chutney.
I don't know what that is.
Let's do a little kung fu. I don't know what chutney is either. I mean, and I've been watching so many like baking shows with you, and it's like they always talk about like compote and whatever. And I'm like,
I know like a compote is, you know, you reduce the berries down and it makes it more kind of thick. And
yeah, okay. So chutney is defined is a family of condiments or sauces in the cuisines of Indian subcontinent. They may be a tomato relish, a ground peanut garnish, yogurt curd, cucumber, spicy coconut, spicy onion, or mint dipping sauce.
Okay. So it's kind of like a jelly.
Yeah. A common variant in Anglo-Indian cuisine uses a fruit tart, such as sharp apples, rhubarb, pickles, made milder by an equal weight of sugar.
Yeah. All right.
So this says mango chutney. 3
tablespoons of mango chutney.
4 slices of toast white bread. 1 tablespoon of chili sauce.
1 teaspoon.
1 teaspoon.
That's a big difference.
1 teaspoon of chili sauce. You melt the butter in a skillet over medium heat. You cook the eggs until the white is completely set, but the yolks are soft, flipping once. So basically an over-easy egg.
Yes.
You spread the mango chutney evenly on 4 pieces of toasted bread. Place a fried egg on a slice of bread. Break the yolk and season egg with a dash of the chili sauce. Repeat with the 2 remaining pieces of toast and the remaining 2 eggs. Stack the pieces so that egg and toast alternate layers. Place the final piece on top and serve immediately.
I would try that.
That actually sounds pretty good.
Yeah. I think for me, it would have to be, like, I would love a sweet chili sauce. But it couldn't be a lot of chili sauce.
Do you think you could like replace the chili sauce with like the sriracha sauce?
I think I would prefer like a sweet chili.
Like a sweet chili? Like yeah. A sweeter chili sauce?
Yeah.
But that doesn't sound bad.
That does not sound bad. I would try that.
All right. So I'll tell you what, folks, we will try this recipe out for you and we'll have a little tasty poo and we'll let you know.
Where are we going to find mango chutney?
I'm pretty sure we can find mango chutney somewhere.
All right.
Or maybe if we can't find mango chutney, just chutney, some sort of chutney. I mean, come on. Indian food is popular. There's got to be some chutney somewhere. And we'll try it out. Bring you our responses on the next episode of Shock Talk.
Okay.
All right. That's it. That's all I got. Anything else you want to say?
No.
All right. I got to go to the restroom. So from all of us here at Shock Talk, I'm Sean.
I'm Maddie.
Thank you. And have a good day. Bye.